cleansed of that darkness, the girl grew younger, pretty, smiling, her face filling with hope despite the squalor of her life, as she found beauty in simplicity, a flower's brief bloom the shape of a cloud. The world must be full of such anguished biographies, David thought, unraveling as they sank into the past, effects preceding cause, pain and despair falling away as the blankness of childhood approached. Suddenly the background changed again. Now, around this new grandmother's face, some 10 generations remote, there was countryside. Small fields, pigs and cows scratching at the ground, a multitude of grimy children. The woman was careworn, gap-toothed, her face lined, appearing old, but David knew she could be no more than 35 or 40.
"Our ancestors were farmers," Bobby said.
"Most everybody was, before the great migrations to the cities. But the Industrial Revolution is unwinding. They probably can't even make steel."
The seasons pulsed, summer and winter, light and dark, and the generations of women, daughter to mother, followed their slower cycle from careworn parent to bright maiden to wide-eyed child. Some of the women erupted onto the screen with faces twisted in pain. They were those unfortunates, increasingly more common, who had died in childbirth. History withdrew. The centuries were receding, the world emptying of people. Elsewhere, the Europeans were drawing back from the Americas, soon to forget those great continents even existed, and a golden horde, great armies of Mongols and Tartars, their corpses leaping from the ground, was reforming and drawing back into Central Asia. None of that touched these toiling English peasants, without education or books, working the same piece of ground for generation on generation, people to whom, David reflected, the local collector of tithes would be a far more formidable figure than Tamerlane or Kublai Khan. If the Wormcam had shown nothing else, he thought, it was this, with pitiless clarity, that the lives of most humans had been miserable and short, deprived of freedom and joy and comfort, their brief moments in the light reduced to sentences to be endured. At last, around the framed face of one girl, hair matted and dark, skin sallow, expression rat-like, wary, there was an abrupt blur of scenery. They glimpsed dismal countryside, a ragged family of refugees walking endlessly, and here and there, heaps of corpses burning.
"A plague," Bobby said.
"Yes, they are forced to flee. But there is nowhere to go."
Soon the image stabilized on another anonymous scrap of land set in a huge, flat landscape, and once more the generations of toil, so calamitously interrupted, resumed. On the horizon there was a Norman cathedral, an immense, brooding sandstone box. If this was the Fens, the great plain to the east of England, then that could be Ely. Already centuries old, the great construction looked like a giant sandstone spaceship which had descended from the sky, and it must utterly have dominated the mental landscapes of these toiling people, which was, of course, its purpose. But even the great cathedral began to shrink, collapsing with startling swiftness into smaller, simpler forms, at last disappearing from view altogether. And the numbers of people were still falling, the great tide of humanity drawing back all over the planet. The Norman invaders must already have dismantled their great keeps and castles and withdrawn to France. Soon, the waves of invaders from Scandinavia and Europe would return home from Britain. Farther afield, as the death and birth of Muhammad approached, the Muslims were withdrawing from northern Africa. By the time Christ was brought down from the cross, there would be only around 100 million people left in all the world, less than half the population of the United States of David's day. As the faces of their ancestors pulsed by, there was another change of scene, a brief migration. Now these remote families scratched at a land of ruins, low walls, exposed cellars, the ground littered with blocks of marble and other building stone. Then buildings grew like time-lapsed flowers, the scattered stones coalescing. David paused. He fixed on the face of a woman, his own remote ancestor, some 80 generations remote. She was perhaps 40, handsome, her strawberry hair tinged with gray, her eyes blue. Her nose was proudly prominent, Romanesque. Behind her, the dismal fields had vanished, to be replaced by an orderly townscape, a square surrounded by colonnades and statues and tall buildings, their roofs tiled red.